more affinity between cosmic and comic than the mere similarity of the words, but also that angels fly because they take themselves lightly. And if this were true of the angels, how much more would it be true of the Lord of the angels? In other words, you could say in mythological language that the most serious being in the world would be the devil, inflamed with hatred and malice against the cosmos, whereas the most non-serious being would be God, because he would be supreme lightness, spirit, levity. And indeed Dante intimates this when he describes the song of the angels as the laughter of the universe. You know what those angels do? Singing alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. What do you think that is? That's nonsense. When I was for a while a minister, I used to tell the students, I was a university chaplain, and I used to tell the students that we were going to have a celebration of the Holy Communion on Sunday at 11 o'clock. And I mean celebration, I said. Don't come here out of a sense of duty. If you do, you're a skeleton at the feast, and you better stay in bed or go for a swim or something. Because here, in celebrating the divine mysteries, we are going to join the angels in making celestial whoopee. But you see, our tradition has in its background the idea that God is really rather grim. And so many of you have picked this up as children. Children are very sensitive to what I call the aesthetics of religion. And the aesthetics of religion is very much overlooked by religious people. In the WASP culture, we have a positive genius for spiritual ugliness. I think of why do we bind our Bibles in black? Why do clergymen go around in black? Why do we have that ghastly kind of sickly yellow stained glass in church buildings, especially Protestant ones? There's something about it. And then, too, in the pulpit, there's a certain kind of funny solemnity that goes with preaching. And children immediately detect that there's something phony about it. Why does that man put on a special voice which isn't like the ordinary voice people talk with? I know, of course, it was the result of the fact long ago that there were no public address systems and one had to boom to be heard in a large building. But there it is, there is this feeling, this flavor. I would almost call it, as they say in Zen Buddhism, you know, a person who has too much Zen and who's what we would call got a kind of religious mania. They say he has Zen stink. And so one can have religious stink. And it is this kind of strange solemnity, as if God we're always taking the attitude of, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And so, because of the influence of these images upon our thinking, and you know, images have an extraordinarily powerful influence on us. They are much more powerful than logical ideas. You can firmly believe with Paul Tillich that God is simply the ground of being, or with St. Thomas Aquinas that he is necessary being, or with F.S.C. Northrop that he is the undifferentiated aesthetic continuum. But those images that influenced you in childhood remain, as it were, in the very roots of your thinking, at the bottom of your heart, and pull those heartstrings very strongly, even though you may have outgrown them intellectually. So I am for a serious revision of the image of God. I think that's very, very important. And that we exorcise this grim Lord of the universe, who is kind, yes, loving, yes, just, yes, but solemn, serious. And so, of course, the attitude of the minister is so often to the young, "Now, boys, quit horsing around. You and I have got to get together for a very serious talk." Well, now, as I indicated, we use the word game, play, in different ways. We can use it to mean what is only trivial. Play as distinguished from work. And in our culture, we make a very firm differentiation between play and work. If I, you know, I enjoy my work so much that I'm accused very often of not doing any. You know, you write books and you give lectures and you read and all that kind of thing, and that's not really work. It would be if you didn't like it. But the assumption is, you see, when I want to get away with something and say, "Well, I have some work to do," that means, well, of course, you're excused, you can go, because it is important that you work. But if I said, "Well, I have some very important play to do," it wouldn't quite go over, you see. But the idea is, you see, that you work, and although that's the serious part of life, the objective is to get enough money so as to be able to play. And nobody really does, because most people I know, they make lots of money. But when they get home, they don't really play. They're either too tired or they watch television. And that's not really playing. That's a kind of non-participative dope addiction. But the other thing is that the reason why we don't play is that we believe playing, we can do it just so long as it's good for us. In other words, play is called recreation. That is to say, what gets you in a fitter condition to go back to work. See, work is the objective. So we excuse play and culture and all that kind of thing in that it relaxes us and makes us stronger so that we can be more productive. But you see, if you play in order to do better work, you're not really playing. Because play is the kind of activity which does not have an ulterior motive. It is the kind of activity that is done for its own sake. And according to St. Thomas Aquinas, this is peculiarly characteristic of God. Because he says, quoting the book of Proverbs, where the wisdom of God is personalized and speaks and says that her function is always to play in the presence of the Most High. Unfortunately, the King James, which is a very dignified translation of the Bible, says rejoice, but the Hebrew says play. And so he said that this was a divine activity, because whereas work is done for something, to serve some purpose, he who is all perfection has no purpose. There is nothing he needs. He doesn't need to do any work, and therefore the activity of God is supremely playful. So in this way, one might say that the most important thing in human life for one's sanity is to be able to be playful, or to be able to do things which are sublimely useless. Where, you see, there is no room in our lives for the useless and for the purposeless in the sense